Well, good morning, friends, and welcome back to Good Morning Live. It is so good to be with you. I pray you're having an amazing Thursday morning and that you are ready to open up the Word of God with me. I look forward to joining you on these lives and getting our day started right, encouraging one another. So if you are watching on any of the platforms that you can do all the do's, the like, comment, share, subscribe, please do so. I always say we're beggars who found bread. So let's tell everybody where we found bread, right? And it's in Jesus, in the Word of God. So do whatever you can do to help get this program out to more people so that we can help encourage other people as well. Well, amen. Well, what a powerful time last night at Hope City Church. And I know that if you missed that, go ahead and back and watch. Today we're going to go in a little bit different direction. I know we've been talking about angels and demons for a while and what all that looks like, how it applies to our life. But today I want to totally change course now and start through, I don't know if we're doing it as a series or what all of that will look like, but we'll navigate our way through it. But I was thinking yesterday about, what was next for the Good Morning Live teaching. And I just, kind of saying, well, Lord, what can I do to help people? That's always my heart, is what can we share or teach or bring to the table that will help encourage people? And I thought, sometimes in my life, I don't know about you, but I get stuck, right? And I don't know how to proceed or move forward. And Paul in Romans kind of talks about that, and he puts it this way to all of us. It says, to will is to present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. How to perform that which is good, I find not. I know that I need to be doing, or what I need to be doing, but I have a hard time getting it done. How many of you have ever felt like Paul there? I know what I need to be doing, but I have a hard time getting it done. And sometimes we need help, and not just any help, we need God's help. Well, fortunately, we have a God who absolutely loves to help his people. He doesn't want us to be stuck. I think that's one of the major mental shifts that we can have as believers is it's not that God's hiding from us. It's not that he's holding back our destiny or holding back the answer, seeing if we can somehow discover. No, I believe God is actively wanting and desiring to help us and to give us the answer and help us move to the next season of life. And when we approach God thinking, well, maybe I can find the will of God somewhere, somehow, I just feel like we don't do justice to God, so to speak, with that kind of mentality. Like, we're a mouse, in a maze, and he's holding the cheese, trying to see if we can find it. I believe that's why he sent the Holy Spirit to be our ever-present help, to lead, guide, direct, counsel, encourage, right? So I don't think God's holding out on you. I just think sometimes we're not approaching him in the right spirit. And sometimes we try to do it all on our own and not understanding that when we feel stuck, we have a God who likes to help, who loves to help. Psalm 46, the psalmist called him a very present help in times of trouble. Hebrews 13 says, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can men do to me? And then in the New Testament, four times the Holy Spirit is given a title. What is it? The helper. The helper. So Jesus himself called him the helper when he said, the helper will come. Well, why do we need so much help? Well, I don't know about your journey and what your life has looked like, but for me, life can be hard. I think everybody can agree with that. Life can be hard at times. And when it is hard, we need help. As hard as life is sometimes, I think the Christian life is hard. And one of the hardest areas in the Christian life, and just hang on with me, is the love walk. I do not know about you, and you know, maybe you got saved and it all just came together for you. And you had just such an easy time loving your neighbor and caring for your neighbor and doing all of that. But for me, the love walk has been one of the hardest areas. To put it another way, one of the hardest things in life is, let me just put it this way, is other people. People can be hard, right? Like I've often heard it said, life would be easy if it weren't for people. Like life would be, and even I've heard it said that ministry would be great if it wasn't for people, right? But fortunately, God has called us to help people and to be around people and to minister to people. And no matter what your calling in God is, it will always involve people. So we got to figure out this love walk and how to love people. So we are called to love our neighbor and to love others. To love our neighbors and to love others, right? And I don't know about you, but how well do you know your neighbors? How well do you know your neighbors? Because loving your neighbor is the second greatest commandment. It is foundational to everything. The entire law really can be summed up in these two commandments. And this is in Deuteronomy 6. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your mind, and all of your soul, and all of your strength." That's the first and greatest commandment, to love God with all of your heart, your mind, your soul, and all of your strength. And the second, Leviticus 19, says you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And when Jesus was approached and asked, well, which one of these, which is the first and greatest commandment? His answer was both of these Old Testament scriptures, to love God and love others. Love God and love others. And he said, on these two hang all of the law and the prophets. Off of these two, love God, love people, hang all of the law and all of the prophets. So if you love God with all of your heart, you will keep the first four commandments, right? If you love your neighbor as yourself, you'll keep the last six commandments. What's remarkable is the man in the story that we're about to read in Luke 10 has the exact same answer that Jesus had. It's all about love. I was reminded that D.L. Moody once said, a man can be a good doctor without loving his patients. He can be a good lawyer without loving his clients. He can be a good geologist without loving science, but he cannot be a good Christian without love. So why is it that some of us have such a hard time loving other people? How is it that we who have been born again, filled with the Spirit, given a new heart, find it so hard at times to love others? Shouldn't this like automatically just be easier for us? Well, I'm going to give us all a break by saying, no, it's not supposed to be easy. It's supposed to be hard. Otherwise, why would we need help, right? Since when is denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following Jesus ever meant to be easy? This gospel of ease and convenience, I don't find in Scripture anywhere. Since when is putting to death earthly passions and not letting sin reign over you? When has that ever been easy? Since when is dying daily to sin and personal preference for the sake of others, when has that ever been easy? I can go on. When is doing nothing out of selfish ambition, but preferring others better than ourselves, when is that easy? Since when is repaying no one evil for evil ever easy? Come on, we all know none of that is easy. And you say, yeah, but the Holy Spirit lives in us, right? Well, that doesn't mean it's magic and you instantly become the most wonderful person, loving, caring, kind person in the world, right? Yes, I believe that loving others is possible because the Spirit is in us, but it's not guaranteed. So to our scripture in Luke 10, a man comes to Jesus, seemingly interrupting his message, and asks the question. He's struggling with this issue of loving his neighbor because he's demanding really from Jesus a strict definition. And let's look at it. And it says this, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" What a question, right? There's probably no more important question on earth than that. We're all eternal beings. The question is, where will we live forever? So the man asked, well, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? I think this is interesting. He's asking that to the very one who is eternal life. And he said to him, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? And so he answered, well, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your strength, and all of your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Nailed it, right? He got the answer correct. And Jesus confirms that. He says, you have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, well, okay, well, exactly, break this down for me. Then who is my neighbor? Who's my neighbor? It's so funny. This wasn't a courtroom lawyer. This was a religious lawyer and expert in Old Testament law. And he really wasn't asking Jesus sincerely. He was trying to test Jesus. He wanted to trap him in some kind of theology breakdown, to say, hey, look, your Messiah, the ones you are following, he got this all wrong. So this wasn't a courtroom lawyer. This was all academic. But Jesus's answer sounds like he's saying, keep the law and you'll be saved. But the law was never meant to save. It was meant to reveal sin. We know that Romans 3:20 says, by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So when Jesus says, do this and you will live, it's hypothetical. The law says, do this and live. But the reality is we can't. We fail. We, yes, by the law, should love God more than anything else with all of our mind, heart, soul, strength, right? And then love our neighbor as we love ourselves. But how many of you know we have not always put God first and we have not always loved the Lord our God with every ounce of our being, and we haven't always loved our neighbor as ourselves, and we fall. And it drives us to the mercy of God, and that's really, I think, the point here. So this man, wanting to justify himself because he knows he's failed, asks, well, who is my neighbor? And that's when Jesus tells one of the most famous stories ever told, the story of the Good Samaritan. And Jesus says this, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, and they beat him, stripped him, and left him half dead. Now, that road from Jerusalem to Jericho was infamous. It was 17 miles of rocky, winding, steep road. It was often called the Bloody Way. It was a perfect place for robbers to catch people and beat them, rob from them, do whatever they were going to do. And here's this poor man lying in the dirt, half dead. And now three men come by, a priest, a Levite, and a Samaritan. The priest saw him and passed by. The Levite saw him and came a little closer and passed by. But the Samaritan saw him and he stopped. Now listen, some interesting insights onto this. The priest may have thought to myself, well, if I touch a dead body, I'll be defiled. That was biblical command. The Levite might have thought, well, if I stop, I'll be attacked too, right? Like, I got to think about my own safety here. This is a dangerous place to be. But the Samaritan thought, if I don't stop, this man will die. You see the difference there? We all make judgments. We see people and we assume. We evaluate, but we don't know their story. We don't know their pain. We don't know their past. That's why Jesus said in John 7:24, do not judge according to appearance, but judge a righteous judgment. Love does not assume. Love inquires. Love acts. All three men saw the man, but they saw something differently. The priest saw a problem. The Levite saw a threat, but the Samaritan saw a person. And that's the difference between religion and compassion. Do you see a problem? Do you see a threat? Or do you see a person? That Samaritan bound his wounds, poured oil and wine, the Bible says, and placed him on his very own animal and brought him to an inn and paid for his care. He even said, if there's more expenses beyond what I've paid, don't worry about it. I will repay when I return. Come on, what a picture of compassion. What a picture of love. Now, I want you to remember this. Now, as Jesus is telling this story, Jews and Samaritans hated each other. So this was scandalous. And I love that Jesus made what in the Jewish minds, who would be the outcast, he made them the hero. He flipped the story. He made the enemy the example of what true looks like, true love looks like. Here's why, because Jesus was trying to teach them something beyond just the preface of the story. Real love crosses barriers. Real love steps over prejudice. It risks its own comfort to heal someone else's pain, even someone who is very different than themselves. Listen, most people you meet are overburdened and under-encouraged. The cashier, the driver who cut you off, the coworker with an attitude, they might just be broken people. They might need you to be the Samaritan in their story. Jesus finishes the story and he asks the lawyer, well, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And Jesus said, well, he who showed mercy on him. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. He didn't say, good answer. He said, now live it. Now live it. Like, come on, you got the biblical precipice. You know the answer. You know the doctrine. You know what the word says. You know what the command is. You know the call. Now go and live it. And that's the commandment for us. Don't just know. Don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. Don't just know. Do. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them, the Bible says. Listen, the fact of the matter is you can't always like everyone, but you can love everyone. Because listen, love isn't emotion, it's action. Come on, I'm going to say that again. You can't always like everyone, but you can love everyone. Because love isn't emotion, it is action. It's agape, the love of the will. It's action. You can choose to love. Just like you can choose to love, you can choose to forgive, and you can choose to be the good neighbor. I heard a quote earlier this week, and it said, I am convinced that 9 out of every 10 people seeing a psychiatrist don't need one. They need someone who will love them with God's love, and they will get well. Thought that was powerful. Again, we make our judgments on other people. We pass blame. We pass prejudice. But Jesus says, listen, love is action. It's not emotion. Be the hero in someone else's story. Be the gold that fills the cracks of broken people with mercy and love. Today, I just want to encourage us. If I just, because again, I was just praying this week and I said, well, God, how can we you know, we went a little deep into the angels and demons and hierarchy, but, you know, let's help us move our faith forward a little bit. And I just thought, you know, what are some of the areas that we just get stuck in? We just get stuck. I remember years ago, and I've shared this before, but the Lord saying to me, I was saying, well, Lord, I don't know if I can do this job, if I can take this position. It requires me to really work with some people who's just, you know, it can be difficult to love at times. And I just thought, I don't know if I can do this. And I remember the Spirit of the Lord saying, the love of God is always supernatural. It's just as I can rely on him for my faith, I can rely on him for provision, I can rely on him for abundance, I can rely on him for blessing, I can trust him to produce the fruit of love in my life. So I just want to encourage us today, if you feel stuck in your love walk, you feel like, man, I'm having a hard time loving people. I'm having a hard time liking people. I'm having a hard time at my job. I'm having a hard time in my house. I'm having just a hard time at church. People, I'm just struggling. Listen, the love of God is always supernatural. You can choose to see the person and walk, but love is action. Don't base whether or not, again, things in the Bible are really basic, right? So the same as we don't base, well, you got saved. Well, do I feel saved? I don't wake up feeling saved every day. It's not like I got saved and, you know, now I just have this emotion of salvation every day, 24/7. I feel saved. No, I probably feel like I did before I got saved. Right now I got joy in my heart, but, you know, I can feel. Why? Because my salvation isn't based on my feelings. We teach people that when you want to receive healing in your life, you don't base it by feelings. You might feel sickness. You might feel the disease. You might see the report, but you do not base the word of God off of your feelings. But for some reason, I don't feel like I can forgive them. I don't feel like I can love them. Well, God never asked what you feel. He said, do. He didn't say, what was your feeling about them? What was your feeling? He said, do, just love. Be the good neighbor. Be the good Samaritan. Love is action. Love is not feeling. So sometimes, just as in every other walk of our faith, we have to override feeling. Listen, not everybody that God's going to put in your lane and in your path are going to be people, oh man, we're BFFs and we're doing life together and I love them and they love me and man, we're all just so happy. No, that's not always going to be the story. Some people, like my mom used to say to us kids, you know, and sometimes when we would be acting up, she says, I love you, but I don't like you. Now you might think that's harsh, but you had to know my mom. but the reality is not everyone who you're going to come cross paths with are you going to like. Not everyone is, you know, and that's where we talk about when we talk about unity in church or keeping the unity and preferring one another. We think that it means that we're also going to be like, oh, just BFFs and they're great and there's no differences between us and we're all exactly the same. And that's not it. That's not it. You probably will not like the personalities of a lot of people and not understand the decisions of a lot of people. But again, we're not going off of the feelings of love. We're going off the action of love. The same as I tell people, just because you forgave somebody doesn't mean that, you know, 10 minutes later after you forgave them, you're not going to have a nasty thought in your head. Right? But again, we're not moving off of feelings. What are we going to do? We're going to go back and say, no, I forgave that someone. I made the decision. So I'm going to override the feelings of unforgiveness. And I'm going to again reaffirm, I forgive that person. I'm going to pray for them. I'm not going to speak negatively about them. Why? Because I forgave. I'm overriding the emotion that I still may feel for a time afterwards, for years afterwards, or sometimes for a lifetime afterwards. I'm going to override those feelings and go back to the decision that I made to forgive that person. And sometimes you have to override the feelings and say, I'm going back to the decision I made that I will love my neighbor as myself. I will love God and I will love my neighbor as myself. So let me pray for you today. Father, that's our prayer. Help us hear personally and judge accurately and see differently and never be afraid to act immediately. And let us remember that the love of God is always supernatural. And today, if we feel stuck in our love walk, if we feel like we can't move forward, we just feel like, man, we're just having a hard time liking that person, loving that person. Would you help us today override the feelings and emotions of our flesh and come back to the cross where you proved what love is, where you said, I'll love you before you could ever love me. I'll lay down my life for you before you were ever even born. I'll love you with nothing, no action required in response. Would you teach us to do that today? In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. You know, I'm going to encourage you, Don Colbert, we did an interview with him called The Spiritual Health Zone. And as we were talking about this today, I reminded of that. And his book called The Spiritual Health Zone, he talks about this, that people who are out of the love walk, people who aren't walking in love, people who aren't walking in forgiveness, and they have a lot of bitterness. Him as a medical doctor has outlined in this book some of the most, I don't want to say incredible, but some of the most damaging things that that can cause physically in the life of a person. And science has proven this, that even people who are very angry and bitter and unforgiving, like their chances of getting different diseases skyrocket. What? So all of this is pointing back to love. Love God and love people, and things are going to go well for you, right? That's Bible. So if you get a chance, you can go back on the James Epperly show. You can go to our website, jamesepperlyshow.com, or onto YouTube and find that interview with Don Colbert and Dr. Colbert. And I know it'll bless you. Or you can go to ptnnow.com. It'll be on there as well. And you can actually order his book if you haven't gotten that there as well. But come on, we got to get back in the love walk. We got to come back to Bible basics, that loving people is essential. Caring for people is essential. Acting in love is essential. Well, thank you so much for being on with me today. It's an honor and a privilege as always. Now, tomorrow we have our Good Morning Live breakdown edition, which is where we take news articles from this past week, break them down, and see how we should respond as Christians. So join me for that. I know that's becoming a favorite of many of you, and I'm looking forward to it as well. Well, thanks so much for being on with me today. It's an honor and a privilege as always. And remember that God loves you, He's not mad at you, and He has a wonderful plan for your life. Bye-bye for now.